right now, we're going to have a time where we can greet each other. And the pastor usually does that. Let's have a time where we can shake each other's hands and say something nice to them. We are so glad to have our visitors here with us this morning. We have a few, and we're so glad that you made a choice to come here to worship the Lord this morning. Let's turn to page 127. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. You may be remain seated. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of
liberty in law. Oh, beauty.
If you would stand with us once more, let's turn to 447, please. Let's sing the first and last verse.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today. Sing, marching on, marching on. Disappear, and the cross of the day. Marching on, marching on, for Christ counts everything but loss, and to crown Him King, the toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Marching on. Marching on, shall we?
Marching on, marching on. For Christ counts everything but loss. And to crown Him King, the toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross.
Man, maybe see.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, we'll take this morning's offering. And while we do that, we'll go over a few announcements. Real shortly, right after the morning service, right down front, I would like to meet with all the parents of the youth, which would be about a 3-4 minute meeting. That's about all it's going to be. The Collins Career will have an activity tonight at the Holder's house. He still has his T-bones left over to put inside the hamburger meat. Ladies' Fellowship will be this Saturday. They're going to a peddler show over in Arlington this Saturday. Also, we're going to have a junior-senior dinner where the juniors and seniors of the youth will be preparing a Thanksgiving dinner for the seniors of the church and delivering them. Also this Saturday, this Saturday's a busy day. Also this Saturday, the ambassador's class and his pastor's class will be having a bonfire that was postponed from yesterday. I think they moved it from 6 o'clock back to 5:30. Miss Floyd Wilson has having trouble getting her hands on the fireworks she wants. November 20th, midweek service will be moved from Wednesday to Tuesday due to Thanksgiving week. So I think that's all we need to mention. Brother Gerardo, would you mind praying for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for this day you've given us and the precious rain. Father, we ask that you be with the services, be with our pastor. We thank you for the veterans who gave themselves and even their lives, Lord, that we can live freely in this country. And Father, even with the election that came through, Father, we pray for that president that it would be a blessing and not a curse to this country. Father, be with this offering. Be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
our special gets prepared to come, I just wanted to mention, you know, it's as pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church, of course, I want to thank all of the veterans that are members of our church. Just thank you for your service to our country. Appreciate you very, very much. And the video we just watched is very touching indeed. Goes right to the point, doesn't it? They give everything. Lay down their lives willingly on behalf of their homes and their families and, of course, our nation. So we hopefully would be quick to express our gratitude to them for their service.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, sending your Son on our behalf. Well, it is Veterans Day, and along the way, I've had some folks complain, not here, but of course never here, huh? Along the way, about spending too much time on things like Veterans Day and giving respect and so forth to those things. But as I shared with Brother Matt Holder a little bit ago, I'm not embarrassed to be a flag waver. Been to some other parts of this earth planet, some other countries. I'm glad God was pleased out of His mercy to allow me to be born here in these United States of America. Trusting that the Lord would help us today as we look into His Word, looking as we see the captain of our host, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we bow before You, thanking You for Your goodness to us, thanking You for Your great grace, Your mercy,
your love to us all along the way. We thank you, Father, that we can be grateful for those who've sacrificed humanly everything they had on our behalf. Grateful that we are still the freest nation on this earth planet. And Lord, we'd ask you in Jesus' name to continue to preserve us and to keep us and help us as a nation for your name's sake, for your glory, and of course for our blessing and good. We'd ask you today, Father, to take your word, open it before us. Pray that you would have complete, absolute control, sway over everything that would be said and done. We would plead the blood of your Son, our Savior, over our church and over this time specifically, that he'd have no place to enter in, cause any hindrance or obstacle or attack concerning your word. Might this church shine for your glory and for your honor, Father. Might we be a beacon of the truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, in my lifetime, just as short as it has been, I've seen various different attitudes about the military and even the military of the United States of America. For the most part, of course, there's been great respect, honor given to our nation's armed forces. Unfortunately, for my generation, which would be those from the Vietnam era, known as the hippie generation, the me generation, it's been a mixture, to say the least. It was sad indeed that in the 70s that our veterans returning from Vietnam were not treated with the respect that they should have been treated. But you know what opinions are worth, don't you? You know, my father used to say that opinions were worth about the price of a cup of coffee. But folks, that was before Starbucks came on the scene. And now not only the coffee's overpriced, but the opinions are often overvalued as well. You know, after God saved me in 1974, I came to realize that people's opinions were not what I needed to worry about. I learned that the only opinion I needed to really be concerned about was God's opinion of things. Man's opinions change with the changing winds of cultural mores and such, but God's words change not. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy words," notice that, "thy word is settled in heaven." What God thinks is what matters. What God thinks is what is important. And he's the only one that we will ultimately one day have to face. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "It is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. We all will one day stand before our God and give account. Those that are saved for how we used our lives for his glory. But all those outside of Christ will come under his judgment indeed." So then, with all that said, I want to know what God's opinion is, even in these matters. What's God think about armies and war and all that? Well, this weekend, as we've said, we honor those who've served our nation and its armed forces. So I want to know what the Bible says to them about their service in the military. Now, let's face it. Let's face the truth. The military is designed, it's trained and equipped to break things and to destroy our enemy. Usually, such things occur during wartime. I've not met anyone, soldier or civilian, who thinks war is a good thing. In fact, war is a horrible thing. It usually means that the youngest and the best of a nation will sacrifice limb and life for their country. We gladly, folks, we gladly honor them for their willingness to stand between danger and their family and homes, our nation, our lives. And we desire to express our real and our deep appreciation for our military. But still, the very important question, what does God think about war? And I think we might see some interesting things here this morning. And we see, first of all, or the question we might ask, is God always opposed to war? Is God always opposed to war? Now, the Bible contains some amazing statements in this concerning our God. The same God, beloved, that the Apostle John declared is love in 1 John. The God, the same God who sacrificed His own Son so that men could be saved from their sin. But listen to this. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, the Word of God says this, "The Lord, Jehovah," Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "the Lord is a man of war." The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Now that might take us back. You say, "Preacher, are you sure you found that in our Bible? That the Lord is a man of war?" Oh, yes, beloved. You look. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. The Apostle Paul wrote, remember now, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We trust every word of this Bible to be profitable for our lives. Now, the incident involved that brought these words out, "the Lord is a man of war," come from the lips of Moses, was dealing with the incredible defeat of Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt, resulting, of course, in their drowning in the Red Sea. We understand, we remember the story. You watch the Ten Commandments probably every year since you've been born. We know what the general theme in the story was. God had sent Moses to lead His people out of Egypt. And in that, God, through Moses, repeatedly gave Pharaoh warning after warning after warning to let His people go. And with those warnings, displayed magnificent power, magnificent signs and wonders in Egypt to display that He indeed was able to deliver His people. And we realize that as well, finally, in the end, God delivered His people out of Egypt that night when the death angel passed through the land. And then as the people victoriously left Egypt, then they found themselves cornered at the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his armies bearing down on them. And God was pleased to withstand the armies of Pharaoh while He led His people through the Red Sea. And mind you, not through the mud of the Reed Sea, as the liberal theologians would try to tell you. No, that He parted the waters of the Red Sea and led His people through on dry ground. And then in turn, as Pharaoh and his armies pursued them, God destroyed them by crashing the waters of the Red Sea upon Pharaoh and his forces. Beloved, God delivered the Jews from their bondage in Egypt as a man who was at war. The Lord is a man of war. We need to understand that there are times, listen, there are times when it is right that it is essential to take up arms for battle. Even God has done so. We could spend till supper time reviewing the times in the Old Testament where God stepped in, intervened on behalf of His people, Israel. read this. You've probably heard this before, but I'll read it for us again. This account from during the Civil War, it says, during the U.S. Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of preachers for a prayer breakfast. Lincoln was a man of deep, even if it was at times unorthodox faith. At one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." Lincoln's response showed far greater insight. He said, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are God's side. Let us pray indeed that we always be on God's side." We realize this morning, beloved, first of all, that God has at times taken up arms against evil. God has at times taken up arms against evil. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, the children of Israel, well, let me back up and say this. Moses has now been taken to glory. The children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and camped between the city of Jericho and the Jordan. And God is instructing Joshua as to how he would have him take the city. And as we read here in Joshua chapter 5, and picking up in verse 13, in the process of all this, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am now come." Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Well, beloved, who is this one with the drawn sword in his hands? Dear ones, we realize and understand that this is none other than what we would see as a pre-incarnate. That means a before that time when Jesus took upon himself flesh and blood in the womb of Mary. This is a pre-incarnate appearing in flesh of the captain of the host, the second person of the Godhead. Jesus Christ himself appears here to Joshua. And Joshua is concerned about who this one is. Just who is this one? And whose side of this battle is he on? And then the captain of the host appears here with his sword drawn, ready for battle. This question, Joshua's question to him, is pretty simple. And allow me to use a Turner paraphrase, if you would. He simply questions, "Are you for us or against us? Whose side are you on?" And the Lord answers and says, again, in Turner paraphrase, "I am the captain of the Lord's host. And I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over." The Lord explains to Joshua in the following chapter, "Indeed, you are my general, Joshua. But I'm the commander-in-chief." The Lord proceeds then to give Joshua an amazing battle strategy. Not one I would think of the Pentagon coming up with in our day, to say the least. But he gives Joshua this amazing battle strategy to take the city of Jericho, which indeed is a total success, fulfilled exactly as the commander-in-chief had laid it out for Joshua. But we find, beloved, now listen to this, we find, beloved, that in the end, the city was to be burned and all of its inhabitants killed, excepting, of course, Rahab and those of her household. It's a tough one, isn't it, for us to swallow. The enemies of our God surely point to times like this and speak degradingly of our God. Church, there are times. Now listen. There are times that evil must be dealt with and put down. No one. Now think about this. No one in their right mind anyway would argue that it was not right to stop the horrendous murder of the 6 million plus Jews and along with them a great number of Christians at the hands of Hitler and his murderous crew. Was it right? Of course it was right. Of course it was right. We see that along the way, now listen, we'll try to explore this a little bit. We see secondly, that God has at times ordered the destruction of evil. God has at times ordered the destruction of evil. As we said, the accusation is often made that our God, the God of the Bible, is a vindictive and cruel God. But beloved, in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. But why would God give Joshua and his army the order to utterly and completely destroy Jericho along with many of the other ancient cities of Canaan? The answer is clear, though it will never satisfy God's critics, but so be it. The historic evidence indicates that the original peoples of Canaan practiced unparalleled horrific evil, including, but not limited to, child sacrifice to their heathen gods, religious prostitution, sodomy, and much, much more. The peoples of Canaan were a vicious, violent people who thought nothing of their murderous tactics. Dear ones, a people can reach the state of such deep depravity that, beloved, the justice of God demands punishment. We do serve a righteous God. And we need to also be mindful that God had been very patient with the people of that land and had graciously gave those folks hundreds of years to repent and change their wicked ways. But when God's patience ran out, evil had to be dealt with. God established Israel in Canaan, as He removed the murderous peoples of the land. He established Israel in Canaan to be a light and a testimony of God's grace and what His mercy is. Now listen, God set up Israel to be a beacon, a light of who our God is and what a right relationship to Him can be. Now, we also realize that Israel, along the way, failed in that. Turned their back on God and turned themselves back to the wickedness and the evil of those nations that were driven out. Our nation has a history of taking a stand against injustice and wrong. I'm proud of that. There have been numerous times, many, many times, that we have sent armies to subdue and defeat wickedness and evil in the world. We sang our national anthem a little bit ago. There's a few lines in that last verse of our national anthem that should speak, they do speak of that very thing. It says this, "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Did you listen to that? Blessed with victory and peace. We have been blessed with victory. We've been blessed with peace. May the heaven rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto. And God is our trust. Secular historians, the world's historians, that is, don't have a clue as to what I'm about to say because they just don't have the eyes to be able to see it. But I believe with all my heart. Now listen, I believe with all my heart that God established the United States of America just as He did. So that this nation could be a beacon to the world. As to what a nation could be that was founded and established upon biblical principles. Stick with me. And indeed, our nation has been a nation like no other in the history of man. You check it out. With that said, with all that said, we realize as well we're on a very dangerous course in these days. Inviting to ourselves God's chastisement or even punishment upon our nation as we reject and throw off the directives of this word. And we see ourselves entering onto a course of evil and wickedness and the acceptance thereof that could well bring God's hand against us. I believe God raised us up as a nation that we could be that testimony to the world around us of how a nation could be blessed when they honored God. Also, and no less important, I'm convinced that God birthed this nation to use her to blanket the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that, beloved. Missionaries have been sent, sponsored by churches across this land to the uttermost, to the very corners of this earth. The blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, mingled with the blood of brave soldiers, bought the freedom and has sustained the liberty that made it possible for this great country to be an incubator for Christian ministers to be sent to those very uttermost parts of the earth. I don't apologize for that either. Has our nation always done exactly right? Has our nation always been above reproach? We know. We realize that's not the case. We have our blights and our dark spots as well. We realize that, of course, but this nation, our nation, has been, and we must pray that God would be pleased in His mercy, to lead and direct our nation to not only enter battle and indeed conquer when we must, when our cause it is just. We need to pray that. Pretty confusing world in which we live, is it not? A very confusing world. Things that don't seem to folks like us that are there, where the black and the white issues are there. Everything seems to be mingled with gray. Hard to understand. But dear ones, blood. Now listen. Blood is often the cost of freedom. I don't say that with a rebellious voice. I simply say it with a voice of truth. It's a difficult lesson for many leaders to learn, but diplomacy and platitudes will have limited effect an impact on evil. Man that is set on conquest and oppression of others will seldom listen to reason. You follow me? Those whose hearts and minds are set on the conquest and oppression of others will seldom, if ever, listen to reason, but must be shown the power of mind. Throughout man's history, there have been dictators and tyrants that have had to be defeated and beaten back. It's a fact of history. The cost of their defeat has been blood. In blood. Listen to this. The American soldier, from our beginnings, won our freedom with their blood. With their blood. I don't know if I have this all perfectly correct. The more you try to examine these different numbers, sometimes come up with different folks' accounting. But these are a sampling, in no way a complete reckoning. The casualties of war. Revolutionary War, we had 217,000 men that served in the army of the colonies. 8,000 died. That was a big number in that day. In World War I, 4,734,991 served our nation. 116,708 died. Died. In World War II, 16,112,566 served in our armed forces. You ready for this number? 405,399 died during the Second World War. Approximately 2,500 Americans died on June 6th. 1944, D-Day invasion of Normandy. 2,500 American young men. Approximately 7,000 American GIs died in the roughly 4.5 weeks it took to take Iwo Jima. Blood, folks. Blood of these young men and women. Over the last 10 years, there have been nearly 7,000 military deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now listen to this. In our history, 631,000 Americans have died shedding their blood to purchase and protect our freedom as citizens of the United States of America. And beloved, that doesn't include the 625,000 men that died in our nation's Civil War. Wow. They all died. They all gave their lives that we could have that civil freedom. It's hard to comprehend those numbers, isn't it? But I mentioned one more valiant soldier of righteousness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent by His Father to fight a war, to defeat evil, and to purchase freedom. To purchase freedom for man. Beloved, He shed His sinless and holy blood to set men free from sin. His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary paid the price to deliver man from the dictatorship, the tyranny of sin and death. Jesus died, beloved, our Savior, our champion, the captain of the host, died indeed to give us life and liberty, not just for time, not just civilly, but for eternity. Soldiers go into battle. And sometimes soldiers do not come home. That's the dire reality of war. But I want to extend that to the reality that not one of us, now listen, not one of us has the guarantee of tomorrow. It's possible. It is possible that we may take our last breath before this day ends. The question, beloved, the most important question that can ever be asked, then what? Then what? The Bible speaks of this life as being a vapor, and so it is. It's here and it's gone. Today we're here, we're living, we're loving, we're carrying on our lives, and yet we may pass into eternity before we lay down our heads tonight. Then what? Then what? Are you prepared to stand before the captain of the host, the God of eternity? We understand that the Word of God is certain and it's true when it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that can claim today a sinlessness or that we are without sin. We are all guilty of transgression before God. And we understand that indeed He declares, the captain of the host, our commander-in-chief, that the wages of sin is indeed death. The answer to that question of then what? The answer to the question of then what when dying without Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord is to spend eternity under the judgment of God for sin. That judgment involves eternity. The unquenchable wrath of a fiery hell. But, hallelujah. But, praise God, He was pleased to send His champion. Huh? He was pleased to send His Son, His only begotten Son, into this wicked world. To defeat the enemy of our souls. To defeat the enemy of sin and death. Yes, Jesus Christ won the victory over the wages of sin and death. And the Bible says so clearly, so beautifully, that if you and I, if we're willing to confess our sins and put our faith, our trust, our reliance on Jesus Christ to save us, to deliver us from our sin, that indeed we also enter into that victory. We enter into the victory of our champion and have that victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave is ours. And hey, the victory is ours for eternity. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful for every veteran of these United States of America. Marcia and I, a few weeks ago, were over in, I guess the actual address is Dallas, but we were over there at the National Cemetery. We laid the body to rest of Donna Leach that day with her husband, who'd served our country faithfully, the military. Beloved, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that cemetery continues to fill up with the veterans of our nation. And as you drive or you walk around in that cemetery and you see the row after row after row after row of those markers like we saw in the video a little bit ago, you'd have to be very cold. You'd have to have a very hard heart to not be touched by what you see there. I'm so grateful for those that have served our country. And I'm grateful today for those that continue to serve our country. And I pray, I ask you to pray for those young men and young women in our military. But I'm also so grateful that I can stand before you as your pastor and preacher and talk about our champion of our faith as well. The veteran of the most awful war and battle to ever confront mankind, sin itself, our enemy of sin. But to be able to declare the victory is won. The battle was waged and the enemy defeated, the adversary put to flight. And today we proclaim a risen Savior, who is alive even today as our champion. If today, beloved, you're here without Christ, I plead with you. He won the victory for you, defeated sin for you. I plead with you before you leave this place today, confess your need of Him. Jesus died for you. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for every hero of our nation. Thank you, every soldier, every veteran. Lord, I pray in the name of your Son to protect our nation. Lord, our hearts have a lot of fear and trepidation about our future. But one thing I know is certain, that those young men and women of our military, our armed forces, serve without guile. They serve, Father, with the desire to protect and to throw back the enemies of this nation. Father, please protect them. Ask you, Father, for the leaders of our nation. Lord, help us to be responsible. Help us to obey your instruction to us to pray for the leaders from the White House to Austin to the county courthouse. Father, please. Help us to be faithful stewards in that respect. But Father, as well, I pray that we would be faithful stewards of the gospel. We'd be faithful stewards to proclaim the victory that has been won through your Son, Jesus. Father, today, Lord, I don't know what the need might be throughout this auditorium. Lord, I plead with you in that name above every name, the name of Jesus. There be one, even one here today that is yet without Christ, yet unsaved. Please, please create that yearning, that desire in their heart to be right with you. Please, Lord, today, don't let them leave this church house until they've done business with you. Place their faith, their trust in what Jesus Christ did to deliver them, to save them from their sin. Oh God, please accomplish your will. Do beautiful, eternal things in our midst even today. We love you so, Lord. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen, Brother John.
Page 155.
Beloved, as we sing, please just obey the Lord. Altars are open for you that would like to pray. If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't have that peace, that confidence that I'm ready for that time. I can't in peace answer that question, then what?" Please come. Take this preacher by the hand and simply tell us you want to be saved. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please, we'll do our very, very best to show you, point you to Jesus today. Let's sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Amen. Got our cars washed, I guess, during church today. I was driving in this morning and thought, well, Lord sure could use the rain. This old car getting kind of dirty. Saved the $3 at the car wash. It's good. Aren't you glad you live in the United States of America?
Amen.
Some of you have traveled different parts of this world. I'm always happy when I get these feet back on the ground here. There's just that blessing of being an American. We can't take it for granted. We desperately need for God to protect us. We need, beloved, a God-sent Holy Ghost revival.
Amen.
Right here. Right here. In our lives, our homes, and in our church. It needs to start right there for it to have an impact on this world. May God be pleased to grant it. Amen. Andrew, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll sing our chorus. Andrew.
Pray. God, Father in heaven, we thank you for this service we had this morning. God, the words we heard from you, Lord, it's not the words of us men, Lord, but it's the words of you coming from your holy word. And God, I pray you bless this country, Lord, more than ever. Bless our men that are serving overseas. God, I just pray that you bless our lives throughout this week. In your name I pray. Amen.
Our chorus is "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus." It's on the back of your bulletin if you need the words. On the chorus.
All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
You're dismissed.